We came Thursday to VBS, and then we came Friday, and Tanner always has a good VBS. I know that. As long as we've been here, all the VBSs have been just great. But we came in the door, and my mouth just dropped open. I said, wow, they have really outdone themselves. And y'all had a great VBS, and everybody who was included in that and helped out in that did a wonderful job, and you're to be commended. There's two of them right there coming in the door, I believe, and several others. And Robert, Robert's hard to beat. You just can't hardly beat Robert. There he comes. Speak of the devil. All right. And then we came last Sunday night, and somebody, I don't remember who it was, I think it was Gary, said that I was coming just for the food. And that kind of hurt my feelings a little bit. Yes, of course I came for the food and the fellowship and the singing and to see everybody. But we had a very good time Sunday night seeing everybody. We've had a few visitors come to Farley, including the Thompsons, and enjoy that. And come out our way if you feel like making about a 50-minute drive, a 45-minute drive, just come out our way. But Gene Bond came last Sunday, and we weren't even there, and I just kicked myself for that. We were taking a vacation, and of course, we were here Sunday night. Sunday morning, we were somewhere else visiting because preachers don't get away very often, and I just hated missing her. She was there with her daughter, but hopefully her daughter will start coming before long. She's somebody close by there. Are we immersed in relationships, I believe, is the... How did I know that? immersed in relationships. Who have y'all had already to speak? Oh, man. Herschel's and me? Oh, that's a hard one to follow. Herschel's great, and he's going to be coming out to Farley to speak in our summer series also. Charles gave me the topic of marriage, husbands and wives. Why in the world he gave that to me, I don't know. I said, don't you have something else? But he said, no, you're stuck with this one. And so we'll do the best we can with that. Marriage with Christ in me. You think about it, every single thing that you have in your life, every relationship you have, every direction that you go, everything that you do with Christ in you, you being a Christian, you letting Christ live in you and through you makes it better in every aspect. And so that's what I want to talk about tonight is how our marriage, how we can be better as husbands and wives, and our marriage can be much better with Christ in us, living as a Christian, not just saying I'm a Christian, not just wearing the name, but actually living as a Christian and letting Christ live through me. And so we can be a better husband and better wives like that. Well, that did not format to the screen very well, but anyway, I don't know if y'all heard anything about this right here, but a couple years ago, and I don't know what came of this, but a couple of years ago there in Mexico, there was a temporary marriage license proposed. And like I said, I don't know if they actually ever went through with that or not. I tried to look that up, and I couldn't figure out if they actually had that going on or not. But anyway, they had proposed this temporary marriage license. And the deal was that you got this license and you had it for 2 years, and at the end of the 2 years, you could decide whether or not you wanted to renew it, kind of like a driver's license or something, whether or not you either wanted to renew it or you could just call it quits. I got to thinking about that. That's crazy, isn't it? I've never heard of such. And could you just picture that? Could you just picture that romantic scene with some guy down on one knee talking to the woman that he loves, saying, "How I love you. I can't live without you. I want to spend the rest of my life with you. Will you marry me for the next 24 months? but things like that and things like we see in our society around us, the divorce rate, what it is, causes us to take a look at what the Bible says, what God has to say about this subject. How many love Romans 8:28? Let me see your hands. We got one, we got two. Romans 8:28. All right. Well, that's just one of those things ingrained in me because my dad, that was his favorite scripture, still is. And growing up, he had the plaque there on the wall, a wooden plaque where he had Romans 8:28 carved in that. And I grew up seeing that. And Dad always said, that's my favorite scripture. And now that's one of my favorite scriptures. But in case you don't know what Romans 8:28 says, there it is while you're looking it up. And so the second you see it, you recognize it because I know we all know this. What does it say? Y'all want to read it together? And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Now do you know it? Okay, now how many people love Romans 8:28? Everybody. See, I knew if I put it up there you would recognize it. We like that, I guess, because when we're going through hard times, difficult times in our life, I think it kind of gives us some encouragement, some strength during those times. But unfortunately, you know, when times start getting tough, we start wondering, well, I thought everything was supposed to work out good for those that love the Lord. And so we start wondering about that, and we don't truly understand that passage of Scripture. And the reason why is because we don't read the rest of it. First of all, it says there it works together for good. That means for my betterment. That's what that means. It's not good like we think of it. I mean, second of all, it says for to His purpose. Okay? We read that verse and we memorize that verse and we like that verse, but yet we don't truly understand it a lot of times because we fail to read the very next verse. What does verse 29 say? Anybody know? All right. Thank you, Eckert. All right. So what is he saying right there? Basically, he is saying that God is working everything in my life, everything good in my life, the good times that I have, the opportunities I have, the good relationships I have, and also the bad things. The bad things. When I lose a job, when I'm sick, when I lose a loved one, when I'm having marital problems, when I go through a divorce, all the good and the bad, all the things I understand and the things I don't understand and the things I can't possibly understand, that God's using every single one of those things to work out His purpose in me. So the question is, what is His purpose? What's His purpose? It's underlined right there. Christ in me, to be conformed, to be like Christ. And so basically, everything that goes on in my life, whether it is good or bad, no matter how bad it is and how bad I feel, and even how confused I get and how I don't understand something that's going on in my life, everything good and bad is being worked out, if I love Him, according to His purpose. That way Christ can be living in me. Does that make sense? So basically, not only is that a good thing, but that's the best thing because I can't get any better than Christ living in me. I don't care how good a person is, you cannot get any better than Jesus Christ living within you, can you? You can't. And it doesn't matter what relationship you're talking about. If you're talking about an employee, you're talking about working, I am the best worker that I can possibly be when I have Jesus Christ living within me and through me. Right? Okay, tonight we're talking about marriage, relationships. And so if I'm a Christian wife, then I am the very best wife that I could possibly be if Christ is living in and through me. Same thing about a husband. I'm the very best husband I could possibly be, not that I'm perfect and not that I am the very best, but as Christ is living through me and in me, then I am becoming the very best husband, wife, worker that I could possibly be. Now, that's a good feeling, isn't it? Now, let's look at marriage and culture. Which way are we going in our culture today? The wrong way, thank you. The wrong way. We are drifting further and further away from God and away from His Word than ever before, aren't we? I'm amazed in looking at our culture and the society and cultural shifts that you see and changes that we see in our society today. I didn't think we'd see half of what we're seeing today in my lifetime. And I'm not just saying that. I'm just shocked about so many things that we see today. We see most of our, I won't say most, but more than half of our marriages ended in divorce today. And we see homes broken all over our country today. And God says that we're supposed to be like that, like an anchor. That we're supposed to be an anchor set so deep in what? What do you think? As a Christian, where am I supposed to sink my anchor into? Now here's, do what? Okay, loving Christ, but in His Word. You know, I'm talking about cultural shifts and how society might say one thing one day and something else another day, and so it just, you know, this might be accepted one day, and the next day that's not accepted and something else is accepted, and most of society just goes right along with it. And what I'm saying is what the Bible teaches us and what God says is it doesn't matter what society says. It doesn't matter how our culture shifts and how it changes and what it says is right or wrong. We base what is right and wrong on this, in this Word right here. And so if I set my anchor in this Word, then I'm going to be okay, right? Now, here's the problem with that. How many of us know this Word very well? That's, sir? Okay, but generally speaking, we don't. Using the word Christian very loosely. No, we don't. When you look at surveys of so-called Christians in the United States, there's quite a few of them, it was almost half of them, that could not name the four Gospels and tell you what they were. And so that's a problem, is it not? If our anchor is to be set in the Word of God so that even though the culture is changing and it's saying this is okay when really it's not, and this is the one thing that's supposed to hold me still and firm, and I don't know it, then what good does it do? Now, what would you say is one thing that stands out that is adrift in our country, maybe more than anything else? What would you think? The home. Okay, well, we're going to talk a little bit about that tonight. Not a whole lot, but a little bit. But yeah, it has to do with the same thing. The home. That is, you know, that is the thing that is adrift probably more than anything else. So let me ask this before we get good and started. Let everybody just ask yourself this. Answer this, not out loud, if you want to. If you want to shout it out loud, that's fine. But that being said, knowing that I'm a better person and my relationship, no matter how it is, with Christ living through me is going to be better, no matter what. Knowing how far society is going from what the Bible has to say, let me ask this. Is Jesus Christ living in and through you as a husband? All the husbands in here. Are you letting Jesus Christ live through you in that relationship as a husband? Are you letting Jesus Christ live through you as a wife? Have you heard the saying that that the family is basically the foundation of society? Right? What's the saying? If so goes the family... Okay, as goes the home, so goes the society. Do you agree with that? Absolutely. And we see that. We've seen that in the United States in the last couple of decades, especially in the last couple of decades. So I agree with that, but let's take it a step further. What is the foundation. We say that the home is the foundation of society. You know, think about this. Before there was a nation, not just talking about the United States, before there was any nation at all, there was the home. Before there was a government of any kind, there was the home. And this is kind of mind-boggling to me because this has been around for a long time. Before there was a compiled word of God, there was the home. So the home is very, very important. You could say it's the foundation of our society. Okay? What is the foundation of the home? It is. It is. The marriage is the foundation of the home. Can you have a home really without a marriage? Is that how God designed it to be? Now you have homes without marriages, and I'm not saying you can't have them, but how did God design it? We'll look at that in just a second, but God designed it for the marriage to be the foundation of the home. And so the statement that Robert made a moment ago, as goes the family, so goes the society. Could you take that a step further and say, as goes the marriage, so goes the family. As goes the family, so goes society. Could you say that? I think so. So that being said, do you think family is important in society? This is the very core of our culture. I mean, that's what everything is built on. Our culture, countries are made up of, nations are made up countries, and countries are made up of cities, and cities are made up of neighborhoods, of subdivisions, and subdivisions are made up of families that are made up of couples. Where do the children come from? Of course, that's the very foundation of the family. And somehow we're trying to get further and further away from that, aren't we? To where anybody can adopt a child and raise that child any which way they want to. I'm not going to get into all that. But let me talk about some truths about marriage. That being said, that marriage is the foundation of the home, and the home is the foundation of society, then we see the importance of marriage. And so let's look at some truths about marriage. And let me give a disclaimer before I even start this. I realize that about everybody in here is a Christian and that you've heard this over and over again. You've heard these points that I'm about to present. You've heard over and over again and you've read God's Word. But maybe there's some who have not. And these things that you read in the Bible about the family and about marriage specifically, and the things that even I'm going to present, I'm not going to get very in-depth because I don't have time to, but that we're going to look at tonight, they're so anti-culture, I guess. I mean, what you see in our society and in our culture is the exact opposite of what we're going to look at tonight and what the Bible teaches. And so basically, if you let, and this is what's happening to a lot of people even in the church today, if you let the world and culture shape your worldview and how you see things, you're going to be messed up. Are you not? You're going to be messed up. If you let our society and our culture, you look at TV and how different shows, the way they depict relationships and everything, if you let that determine how your worldview and how you see things, then you're going to be messed up. Because it should be determined by that. All right, well, let's look at a few. First of all, marriage is a relationship designed by God. Anybody disagree with that? Nobody sat down and at a table and made it, sketched out some kind of outline of what a marriage is supposed to be. Nobody dreamed up this idea and put it together, a man or a woman. It's something that God did from the very beginning, the very first institution. Was marriage, Genesis 2, verse 18. So that being said, should we not go to Him when you're looking at the institution of marriage? If I made something and I designed it and I sold it to you or gave it to you, would it make sense for you to go to somebody else and ask, hey, how do you use this thing? No, of course not. It would make sense for you to come to me because I'm the one that designed it. So it makes sense, of course, to go to God because He's the one that designed it. Here's the second thing. Marriage is a relationship between a man and a woman. What were you saying, Cherie? Oh, okay. That struck it down. So the people are against it, the majority. You know, sometimes you read things in the Bible that you don't like a whole lot, because they're kind of hard to swallow sometimes, they're kind of hard to do and apply to your life. Would you agree that everything that God instructs us to do in the Bible, that it would be the best for us? Would you agree? I didn't always like what Mom and Dad had to tell me, you know. I didn't like what the rules that they made for me. But they did it for my betterment, because they knew what was best for me. And so everything that we look at in God's Word is for the best, even if we don't like it, even if we don't agree with it. Marriage is a relationship between a man and a woman. That is one of the most debated issues today in our society. I don't really understand why. I really don't.
Mark, even Elton John, openly gay, said, "I have said that marriage should be kept between a man and a woman."
Wow, that's a shocker. Nothing against Elton John for you Elton John lovers.
That's surprising, but even he, as messed up as he is, realizes that the home cannot survive just a single-sex marriage. The home just cannot survive that.
It was designed for a male and a female. In fact, did you know that the original text of the New Testament, Greek, it does not say husband and wife in the original language? There's only man and woman, male and female, in those passages. I've got that right here. The Greek word gyna is translated wife, which means an adult female. It's gender specific. And the Greek word anna or anar is translated husband, which means an adult male. So it's gender specific also. And so our society, once again, drifting away from what we're supposed to be, can say, well, you know, a husband and wife can be two men or it can be two women. Okay, you can say that all you want, but that doesn't make it right. We're, you know, God is God and we're not. This is His Word or it's not. You know, and what kills me today is to see so many Christians that say they're Christians and say that they believe in this right here, but yet they have a problem with things like this. Those are the ones, and I'm not bashing them. They need to be strengthened and encouraged. But those are the ones who are being led astray and drifting away because they're not anchored in this right here. They say they believe it. They say that they are Christian, but yet their beliefs are not in accordance with this. Why? Because they're letting culture decide their worldview. And culture says, well, you know what? A husband and a wife can be two men or two women. I don't think so. That's not what you read here. In any way you look at it. I just thought that was interesting that it never even says husband and wife. It is male and female in the Bible. Now, one argument that, it's not really an argument, but one argument that I guess I've heard is, when it comes to this, is, well, that book's so old. That book's outdated. Have y'all heard that? Have you dealt with that? That book's so outdated. How long ago was that thing written? Well, you mean we're still going to go in 2013? We're going to go by something this old, thousands of years old? Now, I want you to think about that for a second. If you have a problem with that, then think about this. And even if you don't have a problem with it, think about this to be able to use this in talking to somebody else. Think about how much of an insult that is to an eternal God. Think about that. What does eternal mean? That means he's not bound by the parameter of time. That means he sees 2013 the same way he did 200 B.C. He sees Genesis and Revelation the same. You know, he's not bound by time. And that's God. That's our God. He's not bound by time. And to say that, well, this is so old that this is not relevant today, that's old-fashioned, well, we've moved past that, is it's slapping him in the face. I mean, think about how disrespectful that is. To say that God, God Almighty, God who is an eternal God, who has made everything, that he did not have enough foresight to write something that would be relevant in 2013. Think about that. No, if you believe that God is eternal, if you believe that God is almighty, then you know that he has written his word and it's relevant for all time, right? Not just for the day in which it was written, but for all time. How long do I have? I forgot. 10 till? 15 till? All right. All right, here's a third one. Marriage takes commitment. Now, I wish, in preparing this, I prepared enough for two or three lessons because I got to digging in Scripture. You don't have time in a little 30, 40-minute segment to get too deep into anything. And so these are just some basic principles or truths about marriage. But marriage takes commitment, right? Where's Linda at? I was going to ask. Oh, okay. Well, I had something to ask her. I'll ask Bernice, how long have y'all been married? 61 years. That's something to be proud of, especially with Melvis. Would you say that took commitment? Tremendously, I'm sure. 61 years of putting up with somebody. Not you, Melvis. I mean just anybody. Just anybody. I wanted to pick on Henry, and he's in there. That doesn't do any good. Richard, how many years have y'all been married? 61. Did that take commitment? Oh, come on. Wrong answer. You're in the doghouse. Well, I could ask everybody in here about this, how long you've been married, whether or not it took commitment, but I don't have to know anything about your marriage. You know? And honestly, who in the world knows about my marriage or your marriage or anybody else's behind closed doors, right? Nobody really knows. I mean, you could have what appears to be an outstanding marriage, and behind closed doors it be just something falling apart and something terrible. But let me say this. I do know one thing. That they might not have a good marriage. I'm guessing they do. But they might not have a good marriage, but they do have one thing, do they not? Commitment. They do have that. How important is that? Do what? That's right. And in sickness and in health and the good and the bad and the ugly and everything else, till death do us part. I know, I was here. It was a shocker because I didn't know it was coming. You know, if you don't have commitment, what do you have? What will happen if you don't have 100% commitment? Is it always nice to live with Melvis? It's getting deep in here. But there's trying times too, right? But when you have bad times, and they're going to come, I don't care how, I'm sure y'all have a great marriage, but I don't care how good your marriage is, when trying times are going to come, if you don't have a commitment, what's going to happen? What takes over? What is our society so full of today? Me, exactly. Selfishness. That's what takes over. It's about me. Well, I think I'll get me a new model. I think she looks prettier than what I've got. I think he's a little bit more handsome. I think I'll get somebody that is a little bit more in tune with my needs. I think I'll get somebody that we have a lot of the same likes and dislikes. I, me. It's all about me. What's that? Okay. I'm not going there, Hugo. You're trying to get me in trouble. I'm a guest here, and you're... Okay. I don't really know how to add to that or what to say about that. Robert, do you? Don't say anything. All right. You got me baffled. I don't know. Push the button. We talked about this marriage license a little bit ago, a temporary marriage license. We don't have that. We don't have that in the United States, but we have what I would call a temporary mindset, do we not? I mean, that's how we approach it. Around 1 million children every single year see their parents go through a divorce. Now, I'm not saying divorce is always wrong, because sometimes it's right. Sometimes it's scriptural. Sometimes it needs to happen. Sometimes it happens because life happens. Because of I... But what I'm saying is, isn't it a shame that many children every single year have to see their parents go their separate ways and have to have two separate homes in two different places and have to go visit one and go visit the other and live with one and maybe live with the other? And that's a shame. And it shouldn't be that way. And most of the reason why, I believe, is a lack of commitment. Because I see something shiny over there. I see, you know, he's a little bit more appealing than the old version I've got here, so I think I'll get something else. Some researchers did a study on married couples trying to figure out what was the secret of some marriages lasting a lot longer than others, and so they took several couples that had called it quits and went through a divorce, and then they looked at several couples that were together for many years. And they were very surprised to find out that both groups looked very much alike. I don't know how many Christians they had in the bunch, because it shouldn't be, but according to this survey, both groups looked a lot alike. They had about the same level of happiness. They had about the same amount of troubles and things in their marriage. And so they got to looking and trying to figure out, okay, well, what's different? Because there's got to be something different. And what they figured out that probably got paid millions of dollars for that we could have told them is that one group, the group that stays together, is more committed than the other one. We could have told them that, right? For better or for worse, in sickness and in health. I'm going to take Robert's advice and go to the next. Number next, marriage is a relationship with clearly defined responsibilities. Now, there's several passages there if you want to look those up and jot those down, because we're not going to go into those. It's foolish to think that God made us and created the institution of marriage from the very beginning and didn't give us any kind of guidelines or any kind of responsibilities, and He did. Now, did He tell us exactly how it is to be to the T? No, not really. I mean, he's left decisions up to us, but He's given us somewhat of an outline, and so I wish we had time to go into those. But there are responsibilities as a husband and as a wife, and so we need to make sure that we know those. And so if you don't know those in your husband and wife, write those scriptures down and look at them. Here's the last. Marriage works with Christian faith. Now, am I saying that there are no Christians who are, marriages are falling apart and they're getting divorced? No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying marriage works with Christian faith, because that's how it was designed from the very beginning. If you let the common faith that you have in God, you let that common commitment that you have to God, you let that be, if you will, the glue in your marriage, it'll work out. Because this book right here teaches you the most important things in life. And it teaches you not to put yourself first, but to put others first. And if you apply those principles that the Word of God teaches you, then you're going to have a happy marriage. And you're going to stay together. I don't, you know, God said what God has joined together, let not man separate that one bell. I don't see how people do it. I don't see how couples can last without God. I really don't. All right, I'm going to introduce you to a couple, this young couple here. This is Herbert and Zelmyra Fisher. Now let me give you some info about them. All right, they live in New Bern, North Carolina. They got married, get this, in 1924. In 1924, when Calvin Coolidge was president. Recently, they celebrated their 86th anniversary. They've got y'all beat by quite a few years. They are listed in the Guinness Book of World Records for having the world's longest lasting marriage. And if you can read that, that's what that picture says right there. Zelmyra is 101 years old. Now, I don't care where you're coming from, that's old. Zelmyra's 101 and Herbert is 104. But get this. Being 101 and 104, that old, they're not stuck in the past. Check this out. They're on Twitter. They are on Twitter, and you guessed it, they call themselves the Tweethearts. And they have been tweeting marriage advice and the secret to their successful 86 years of marriage on Twitter. And so here are some of the things, not all the things, you can go look it up yourself. Here are some of the things that they have tweeted about the secret to their successful marriage. We are best friends before we were married. Friends are for a life, and our marriage has lasted a lifetime. Very good advice. Your spouse should be your best friend. Respect, support, and communicate with one another. Very good advice. Communication. That is one of the three things that most divorces is the cause of most divorces. Money, unfaithfulness, and that used to be number one. I hadn't looked lately, but communication used to be number one. Need to communicate with one another. Be faithful and true and love each other with all of your heart. That's a very simple statement, but yet there's a lot of truth to that, and it's not always an easy thing to do, is it? Be faithful and true to one another. Remember, marriage is not a contest. Never keep score. God has put the two of you on the same team to win. And so the whole idea of what job do you have, how much money you have, and trying to one-up each other doesn't work. You're a team. Marriage is it's not a contest. And then the last one there is, I think, the main one. We are both Christians and we believe in God. Marriage is a commitment to the Lord. We pray with each other and for each other every day. Are you surprised that these two people have been married for 86 years? I'm not. Not because they're Christians and because they live by this book right here. Now, as I said before, it's hard sometimes to live by this book. And sometimes some of the things that we read in it are hard to swallow. They're extremely hard to apply. They're good on paper and they sound good, but when we actually put them to use in our life, then we struggle with that sometimes. And the same is true when you talk about the responsibilities as husbands and wives, if we could go into that. Sometimes you might read something about a responsibility that I have as a husband and say, I can't do that. That's hard to do. I'm supposed to love my wife like Christ loved the church. I'm supposed to be willing to go out there and die for her. Or you might read something as a wife and say, I'm supposed to be submissive to my husband or something else and say, I can't do that. That's impossible. Yes. That's a whole nother study right there. Yeah, I agree with you. Here's my point. It is impossible within your own resources. You know, everything with Christianity, with that lifestyle, is impossible without Jesus Christ. But with Christ living in me, it's all possible. I can be the husband or the wife that I'm supposed to be, that I dream to be, that my spouse deserves to have. If I'm letting Christ truly live through me. Not just I'm saying I'm a Christian, but I'm applying what the Word of God says. And so if... I know you had a good marriage. You've talked about your husband a lot. If there's just one thing I'll say to close it up is, if nothing else, I know we couldn't get in depth with any passage, but let this book, let Jesus Christ be the glue in your marriage. Let that be the one thing that you have in common. If you have nothing else in common at all, try your best to do what this book says to do, and I guarantee you, you'll have a happy marriage. And you'll have commitment. You'll have somebody that loves you.